want it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, get it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it.
Oh, I know I say this every time, but I could listen to that music forever. But the other side of the rainbow is that I get to talk to Jesse Filer, so that's more important, and he is here. Our tech guru, Jesse Filer, joins us this morning to discuss backup storage for our devices and how to save everything and how to get rid of stuff.
Yes.
How to get rid of it and get rid of it for good, but also to save the stuff that you really want, from, especially when you're going from device to device to device. Jesse Filer is an app developer and author. His most recent app is Utility Smart. It is available in the App Store. His recent books are iPad for Seniors for Dummies and Exploring Swift Playgrounds. It is always a pleasure to have Jesse Filer join us on this program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm so glad you brought up this topic. I think this is instrumental to our lives, because first of all, in my professional life, I'm constantly told to clean out my mailbox, clean out all my stuff as much as possible so you're not taking up space. And that, I think, is a pain. But because you get so much stuff and you don't know what to do with it. So you don't want to keep the trash, and yet you do want to keep the important stuff. Then in my home life, there are those times where you look at your computer and it's a little groggy. It's not working quite. The laptop isn't moving quite as fast. And then you realize that you have 478,000 photos on it. and the person at the Genius Bar says to you, yeah, maybe that's the problem. Are you here to help?
Well, let's see if we can sort of split this into various components.
All right, I'm in. Component number one.
Component number one is, when is the easiest time to get rid of stuff you don't want to keep?
Oh, when is the easiest time to get rid of stuff that you don't want to keep? I would assume as soon as you realize that you don't need it.
And specifically, the first time you deal with it.
Yeah.
The first time you see it.
Right. So if I get are we talking about emails or anything?
Anything.
Okay. So let's say we get an email and it's a sale for the Pottery Barn, and you don't need pottery, whatever it is they sell, and you say, okay, I need to get rid of this.
Right.
And then you delete.
Delete. That's the easiest time to get rid of it.
Okay.
I had a friend who must remain nameless who... For various reasons.
I'm guessing you don't want to have them remain nameless, but it's just for the best. Okay.
It is for the best. For various reasons, because of who she was and whatever, she was given many gifts at the holiday time. And I was present at one of her gift opening sessions and noticed what she said as she opened things. She took... I think this is where I learned the thing. Get rid of things as soon as possible.
Okay.
And she would open packages, and her go-to statement was, I can give this to my maid.
Okay.
So the earliest possible moment, bring in relatives, workers, and so forth, and get rid of it. As
right.
soon as possible.
Who are you hanging around with, by the way? Give it to the maid. All right, go ahead.
But this applies not just to ads from merchants. This applies to... Do you ever take a photo?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I've taken a photo.
And if it's not a keeper...
Oh, it stays. It's just, it stays here, Jesse.
No.
It's just here.
No, it shouldn't be here. If it's not right, get rid of it. Now, it is absolutely possible that 3 years from now, you will look at that photo and say, oh, I was wrong. It is a keeper, and looking at it has changed my life. That could happen. Chances are it won't. So if it's not something to keep, get rid of it. right now.
Now, can I just interject, and I don't mean to take you off course, but let me just give you a real-world problem to exactly what you just said, mm-hmm. which is if I go out and I go do something, I go visit the Mona Lisa, I don't know, let's say that, and then I come back and I have photos from that moment, and I put them onto my computer, however I get them there, there's a myriad of ways, and I say, okay, I like this one, I don't like that one, and I get rid of them. Okay, that's fine. I do that. I'll admit to that. What happens, though, is when I go into my photo stream, I find out that all of the photos that, because all of our devices are linked, that when I saw the cow that I thought was kind of cute, I took that picture, and there's maybe three, and then there's the and then there's the picture that you take of the accident because you want to, you know, prove to your wife of why you were late. You know, things like that.
And the cow was hurt. The cow was okay,
No. The cow was not a part of the accident. I was just looked down, and I saw that picture here in my stream. So my question being then, there's a lot of stuff that sometimes you don't even realize that it's there until you look at it. And then you have to get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's a really interesting issue.
Let's see, the truck that overturned.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. That was what I some of my photography over the weekend. Go ahead. I left you speechless.
As back to getting rid of things.
Yes.
The earlier you get rid of them, the better it is. Because you're absolutely right. We're so focused now on not losing things. And we have all of these things that put things into photo streams and share them across devices and so forth. So that before you know it, you could have 10 or 20 versions of something or copies of something floating around there.
Right.
And that's one of the big problems that we have. That's why getting rid of them as soon as possible before it gets into this sharing mess is a good idea.
Now, I know this used to be a problem, and probably technology has caught up with this, and I'm just not aware of it. But when you get rid of it, have you really gotten rid of it? In the sense of, when I press delete or I put it in trash, is it really gone?
Lawyers have a wonderful saying.
The Apple Watch is going.
You can't unring a bell.
Yes.
Well, I love that.
Yes.
It's a wonderful saying, and it's absolutely true. You can't get rid of anything. If you question whether it's possible to truly delete anything, my suggestion is that you pick up a newspaper or turn on this station or listen to the news, because everything is out there.
Yeah.
But the time to stop it getting out there is, first of all, as your mother would say, don't do it if you wouldn't do it in public.
Right.
But
forget
if it's too late for that.
Yes.
As soon as you do it or write it or photograph it, if you don't want to get rid of it before it gets into this pattern, if you can do that.
Okay, and we're not talking about incriminating information. We're just talking about stuff that is going to slow down our device and make things clunkier than they have to be.
And the other thing to do is, in your spare time, you know, when we all have downtown time,
sure,
we sort of do.
You're waiting for the muffler to get done at the waiting area. You're bored.
Yes, and that's a good time to go through and look at the settings on your computers. And things like photo sharing, and see if you have asked it to keep everything. Maybe you want to not keep everything. Maybe you want to relax some of the settings so that think of a sliding scale from saving everything all the time to saving only things that you explicitly want to save. And most of us are somewhere in the middle with our settings that we put used for apps.
Now, this is interesting to me because one of the things that is often a selling feature for a device or a program can often come back to haunt you later. For example, someone will tell you when they're selling you a device, will say, oh, well, this has a backup, and then there's a backup for the backup, and then there's a backup for the backup for the backup. And then when you're actually trying to get rid of something 4 months later, you realize that you don't have to get rid of it from one place. You have to get rid of it from eight places because there's the backup, the backup, the backup. So is there a universal place to get rid of a thing, or does this go back to your earlier, once you get rid of it, you get rid of it?
It's people say, you know, it's almost impossible to get rid of something. If it's been, I mean, we do. I wasn't kidding. We see it all the time in the news reports, because there are a number of documents floating around now in the headlines of emails and so forth. And people, first of all, people don't think to get rid of emails.
Right.
That's the first thing. And they don't realize that if, let's say you send an email to someone.
Yes.
Just a simple email. Let's say, hypothetically, that you are going to be arranging a meeting, let's say, hypothetically, with a Russian spy.
Okay. Just hypothetically.
And let's say that this meeting has you...
My brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law. The espionage person.
Yes.
A translator. And someone else.
Okay.
Okay.
That so we know of. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, we know of it because, let's say, in an email of setting it up, you said, these are the people who will be there. And
right.
you copy that email, perhaps, to those people.
Right.
So right away there you would have five or six people who received that email.
If, yes.
I mean, I'm making up some of these details. Let's say five or six people get the email.
I think you're making it relatable. Go ahead.
Okay. So now, let's say you realize, maybe I shouldn't have sent that email. How do you get rid of it? Okay, you have to erase it from your sent mailbox.
Right.
You have to arrange for each of the recipients to erase it from their received inboxes.
Which they may or may not be inclined to do.
And may not even know they have them.
Right.
They may have backups on their own computers. So it's reasonable to say, because most people have some kind of backup. So let's say it goes to five people.
Yes.
Let's say there might be 10 copies, because one person will have two backups, one won't have any backups, but easily five recipients could translate into 10 images of that.
So just for an example, if I'm sending it to you to come to this meeting, then you write back to me and say, if what you're saying is true, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's your response to me. Then not only do you have my email somewhere in your system, but you also have the item in your sent folder.
Yeah,
which is coming
to me. Of
course,
because I want that, because I want to see what I've sent.
Right. So you don't really have just one copy of it. You have two copies of it, not to mention all of the other people who would have been involved in that.
Yes.
Okay.
So... This is the roundabout way of answering your question. Can you really delete something?
Yes.
If it's email, no.
Okay.
No question. I mean, it just.
But again, I want to get away from, just for a second. And believe me, I don't really want to get away from it, but because I like the espionage stuff. But in incriminating evidence. However, most of us are just, you know, planning on going to the dentist. So. We don't want the stuff clogging it up, because it's just extra stuff we don't need. Storage, you buy a certain amount of storage and you think, all right, well, this is enough, and I want to get rid of the stuff that I don't need.
Okay. Is it necessary to keep the email message from the dentist confirming your appointment for next Tuesday that was sent 3 years ago?
No.
That's the sort of thing that you can get rid of that.
So what do you do with old data?
Okay. A couple of things. Do preventive stuff. When you get that email, it's a reminder for next Thursday. You better keep it.
Right.
Until Thursday has happened.
Yeah.
One way of doing it when it comes to email is to have folders and automate them. And all the email clients allow you to do this in one way or another, so that you can say that when you read it, you can say, okay, this is a current thing I have to deal with. And just move it automatically or with a script or whatever to that folder. And then periodically, like a New Year's Day or something, go through. I'm not making this up.
People, no, I know.
This
Happy
is,
New Year's.
This is.
I'm going to go through my folders. Go ahead.
Some people do that.
Yes, I understand.
The same person who gave things to her maid actually did that.
Lucky maid. But it's a good thing because then you go through.
You know where they might be.
Folders have saved my life because you do know where the things go. The thing goes into folders. Sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind, but you do know that it's there and you can look at it and it's easier to deal with.
Right. So that's the principle of dealing with it the first time you touch it. And if you can delete it, that's what you can do with spam. But in this case, where it's a reminder about an appointment in 3 days that you won't need 3 months from now, put it into this folder, and that's all you have to clean.
All right. So the issue about just this idea of cleaning and to getting rid of the data brings us back to this idea of security, which you believe in many cases is a smokescreen. How so?
How so? Because the conversation goes, when you talk to people about organizing data or, you know, keeping track of their data and emails and photos and so forth, it's very easy to say, well, you know, I have to do that so it's secure.
Right.
Most of us really don't have to worry about security. The biggest problem, the bigger problem for most of us is clogging up disk drives.
Yeah.
With stuff that, whether it's secure or not, just we don't care about. But as soon as we get into this discussion about security, you know, anyone can read my email, what am I going to do about that? As soon as you turn that corner, get into that discussion, it seems to me that it takes it to a whole new area, which is critically important. We do have to be able to trust the security of things that should be secure, but it turns it into sort of a James Bondish discussion.
Yeah.
And the discussion is really about keeping your data on your disk drive organized and not keeping anything more than you need. So that's why I say try to keep the security issue out of it, because that is a detour many times.
I have a bad philosophy on this, and I probably shouldn't even say it on the radio, but because I often hear people say that, I don't want to do that, I don't want to give you that because I'm worried about security. Okay, that's fine. I just assume, this is my philosophy that's probably bad, I just assume that everybody can see everything. and as you indicated before, your mother's rule, you know, if there's nothing you don't want out there, then don't put it out there.
Now, I think hers was don't do it.
Don't do it. Well, that's right. I mean, just don't do it. So, yeah. Now, just getting us back to the point, though, that I would like to make, that if we do, you know, where were you on the night of November 11th, 2013, and that becomes an issue, and you don't want anyone to know where you were on the night of November 11th, 2013, and you want to erase that data, is that possible to do?
Probably not.
Because, again, you have what you have sent to other people. You have all of those things. And so it's not off this machine that I am pointing to right now. I mean, it's there,
it's,
right?
It's everywhere. But that's – do you remember when the USA Patriot Act came in?
I do, yes.
And I was on library boards and doing a lot of – and
right.
Libraries, one of the things they were very worried about was that the data – like from their logs of who used public access computers, could be subpoenaed.
Well, we were right, and we saw that. We saw where Supreme Court justices, people who were being vetted for the Supreme Court, we knew what books they took out, we knew what videos they took out. We could find that information.
Do you know what the advice was on this?
Don't take those videos out? What?
No, you're sort of on the right track. Libraries at that point were keeping track of who was using public access computers in a list for times or whatever in order to manage the line of people waiting to use the computers. At the end of a day, there was no reason to keep that data.
So get rid of it.
Yes.
But here, this goes back to the original point. Can you really ever get rid of it?
Well, in that case, these documents were fortunately mostly on paper. Could you totally get rid of it? It's probably depending on how it was stored.
Yeah.
If it's in a spreadsheet that has never been saved, there's a chance. But in order, many apps now we're getting rid of save buttons. So if you think it hasn't been saved, it probably has been saved.
So and if I'm going down a rabbit hole here, you'll let me know. But I'm reading in the paper about the election information and the request from the Ethics Commission of in the elections to go to all 50 states and have that information available. The states have put up a stink about it, I believe rightfully so. But that gets into your Patriot Act issue of information that you did not believe was going to be shared with others is suddenly now being shared with others. And what is your... Am I going off the...
No.
It's the same topic, isn't it? I mean,
It's a similar topic, and it's really interesting because, of course, as you may know, the people who complained about this and wrote letters to that new agency, their names and addresses were accidentally released to the public.
Accidentally on purpose.
The people who were complaining about...
Right.
It was either a massive screw-up, sort of... I put it as a flashing neon sign saying we can't be trusted with data, or
it's whatever. Revenge. But whatever.
But I think one of the points of that it's that data, as I understand it, is this gets more complicated and more interesting. That data is public data.
Some of it, right? Most of it.
I think most of it is.
Yes.
It's the aggregation of the data.
I mean, my Social Security number isn't public.
No. Well.
Well, okay.
But,
all right.
But it's the aggregation of the data that becomes powerful. The combination of your address and how you registered and did you vote here and so forth, that combination.
And who I voted for?
If some of that is available, that the combination is what's powerful, and that's what some people object to about some of the targeting that Google and Facebook do, because it's the collection, the aggregation of data that lets them say, okay, we can sell you ads that will go to people who, you know, have this characteristic, and this characteristic, and they might take 10 million data records and narrow it down to 100, and that's where the ad gets targeted. So it's the aggregation, whether it's for political purposes or voting or for advertising, that's where things really get interesting, I think.
And then you see, and I'm trying to bring it up, but I couldn't real quick, which is then you see what Jeff Sessions is trying to do in trying to make it stricter for the voting when it comes to voting the registration. Thank you, of making that stricter and more difficult. And you wonder if is that data then being used to isolate a population? And I know we're getting far afield here, but I do wonder then here again. If I am a governmental agency, if I am perhaps a governmental agency of a different political stripe, is there a way that I can make that information safe and private so I protect the citizens that I represent?
Well, insert reference to barn doors here. That data is out there.
Yeah.
Both political parties have massive databases on voters that they have been aggregating over the years, and they do things at election time when we get into one of the lulls in the election cycle, which don't happen all that often, but occasionally we do get into a lull where they talk about stuff like this. And so they are aggregating information on voters, including their favorite TV shows,
right,
which tells the political party or the candidate, say, okay, put your ad on Everybody Loves Raymond instead of Law and Order, because it, you want the Everybody Loves Raymond audience. You know, so that so where the dividing line is, this is sort of part of what everyone calls big data. It's not the amount of data, it's the aggregation and the analysis of it, which we can now do instead of on supercomputers on our phones.
Jesse Feiler, I love talking to you. It is always a great pleasure to speak with you about this stuff. It gets us thinking. You provide consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. The website, champlainarts.com. You have wonderful information available on your website about this very topic that you have compiled for us. So if people want to find out more, they can go to champlainarts.com and find it there. We have a link to your site on our website as well. Jesse, it's always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure being here.
I look forward to seeing you next month. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.